This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat market for Wednesday, September 22nd. Well, yesterday we got a little bit of pressure in the wheat space as we saw some continued selling from the previous couple days. Today, so far this morning, we are seeing a nice snapback, regaining pretty much everything we lost yesterday. Bear spreads working yesterday, bull spreads working today. And we quietly see Kansas City continuing to gain against Chicago, where where the front months have now surpassed or have gotten right even with it. So we saw it come right up to even money, go a little bit beyond it, come back down, kind of testing even money again. It's probably going to be some short-term resistance there, but I think ultimately, just considering the overall supply-demand fundamentals, not only of wheat, the all-wheat space, but the different types of wheat, still bode very positive for hard red winter wheat. Not as much for soft red winter wheat, although we have to keep in mind that Chicago is the biggest market. Hedge funds are more comfortable being in Chicago if they're going to be carrying large positions. So if they're in a portfolio where they're balancing grains versus equities versus bonds, they're going to be in Chicago most likely. And if you see world production problems develop, quite often they'll head to the Chicago market just for liquidity reasons. But overall, bullish fundamentals still remain for wheat in general. We're looking at corn and soybeans, of course, getting into the bulk of the harvest here in the United States. That's probably going to keep a lid on things for a while, but the bull market is well intact for those row crops as well. In wheat, we had the Russian Sovcon putting out some updates. The Russian harvest so far is at 71.1 million tons just for wheat. That is down 11.4% from last year. That's a drop of, or 11.4 million tons from last year. That is a drop of 14%. Harvested area at 24.7 million hectares is down 7% from last year. Yield at 2.88 million tons per hectare. That is down 8% from last year. But Siberia kind of shoring up the wheat production. They are harvesting wheat there. It's all spring wheat up there, and yields are coming in a bit better than expected. They're up over 18% from last year. Harvested area for spring wheat at 5.6 million hectares. That's roughly about 14 million acres, and that compares to the U.S. at 11.6 million acres is what we plant, what we planted this spring for spring wheat. So overall, I think with the better yields coming out of Siberia, Sovcon is raising their total wheat production out of Russia 200,000 tons. It takes them up to 75.6, whereas USDA is at 72.5. So USDA was the first to really drop the production estimates. They did so fairly aggressively over 2 months ago. Now, Sovcon, which arguably has a pretty good pulse on what's going on in the grain space in Russia, they were ratcheting down their production as well, but USDA kind of bypassed them on the way down. Now Sovcon is starting to adjust those numbers slightly upward. So that'll be curious to see if USDA follows suit, if they bring back a little bit of that production estimate. But by and large, I think the bottom line is that the issue with Russia has been disappointing winter wheat yields and an onerous export tax, slow farmer selling to start with, but what that has picked up recently. But the export tax is serving its purpose very well. We're seeing little export offers and exports out of Russia. And it's not just wheat, it's also barley and corn that are carrying some export taxes. The equity markets appear to be stabilizing. It looks like the Chinese government is willing to step forward and inject quite a bit of liquidity into the banking system. So we shouldn't see any bank squeezes or runs on bank. That is helping stabilize the Chinese equity markets, and that's spilling over to the rest of the world. So we don't see a lot of just general across-the-board market liquidation when it looks like we're getting some stability coming out of that issue with the real estate development firm out of China. In other news, Pakistan is in the wheat market, putting out tenders. You know, they've already got a tender existing for 500,000 tons of wheat that is yet to be filled, and they're putting out another tender for another 640,000 tons of wheat. So clearly, they're in the market in a big way. And you know, USDA has them importing anywhere from 1.5 to 2 million tons. Well, you know, this is 1.1 just right here. So it's either they're going to fill that pretty quickly, or they've got more to go. But either way, we're looking at quite a bit of business coming from just Pakistan alone. Another news, we want to look at weather, what's going on in South America. Of course, we got the wheat growing in Argentina and also in Australia. Argentina is looking at some dry weather coming up on them, and that's, again, coming right in the heart of the growing season for wheat. Of bigger concern in South America is the developing La Nina. What we're seeing develop is apparently this La Nina is gaining strength very quickly, and it's kind of turning into a strong La Nina, which the strongest since 2011 from what we're hearing. That would suggest that this is going to hit Argentina pretty hard. It could be right during the heart of the growing season for corn and soybeans in Argentina. That, I think, would have some pretty far-reaching ramifications. It doesn't look to develop fast enough for the wheat market or for the wheat crop, but it certainly does for corn. And, you know, we've already got a very short crop out of Brazil from this past season. U.S. corn should be adequate, but the bull market remains intact for corn. If you start taking away some production out of Argentina, that is going to scale back world production and I think be supportive to corn. So we'll see how that develops. But again, the word is that that La Nina is developing quickly and with quite a bit of strength. And that's usually suggests dryness for most of Argentine grain growing area and also southern Brazil. It does tend to bring more rain into Australia. And so far, Australia's crop looks pretty good for wheat. And they're on track for not a record crop, but at least a good, you know, slightly above average wheat crop. Both Argentina and Australia's crop will be hitting the world pipeline about November, December. So that's why we look for those normal seasonal patterns tend to be strong for wheat into the fall, into early October, before we get that pressure from the southern hemisphere. This year, again, looking for a decent-sized crop out of Australia, but that's primarily soft white wheat, and that would primarily head toward the Southeast Asian market. For Argentina, that's a hard red winter wheat, and with the shortfall from Russia and here in the United States, we just have less available to export because so much of it went into the feed channel that any pullback in production from hard red winter out of Argentina, I think, really stokes Kansas City higher. We're looking for that market to move higher anyway, but if you start running into production problems, that would be an issue. So again, we'll see where this all heads, but I think the wheat bull market is very well intact. We've had a few days of a pullback. It got right down into some support levels, and the market seems to be snapping back out of that. Those are all positive signs. Plus, the bull spreads are working as well. That, too, is a positive sign. So I do look for the markets to continue upward, probably into mid-October, just considering it's a bull market and your seasonal tendencies would tend to stretch a little longer than normal. But at least into that right around October 10th area, more likely, more so into the mid part of October. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.